The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome to a special bi-week edition of the I Love Gold podcast. I am Tyler Brook, joined alongside Chris Burke as always. Chris, it's kind of balmy in Indianapolis, Indiana. You know, it's like a balmy 35 degrees right now. How is it doing in Green Bay?
Well, so looking at my weather app right now, the current air temperature is 13, but the wind chill is minus 5. It's cold. Winter has come. And it's actually going to get worse. The wind chill tonight's probably going to be pushing like minus 20 going off of these numbers. Wind's howling. It's cold. We got some snow yesterday. It's football weather, though. I mean, it's football weather, baby. It's football season.
Yeah, I mean, we're recording this on Monday night before the New England Patriots-Buffalo Bills game, and all the scenes we're seeing from this is wind gusts so bad that the field goal posts are shaking. Winter football, there's nothing like it, especially in Lambeau Field. Got a great game coming up against the Chicago Bears. We wanted to do things a little different today since it is coming off a bye week. We're usually the recap show or the recap after the recap, so to speak, on the feed. But we wanted to start first with a couple, you know, housekeeping things, some news updates, and then we wanted to break down some of our favorite moments from the Green Bay Packers season, 10-1. Very much looking forward to that. But before we get into the news, before we get into anything else, Chris, the Detroit Lions, they did it. They finally did it. Clap it up.
I know it's looking outside, looking at my looking at the thermometer, hell actually froze over. The Detroit Lions win a game and then Wisconsin turns into Siberia. I mean, that's just kind of how things happen. But yeah, a fantastic game. You know, they jumped out to that lead at the half, and I thought, I'm like, are they actually gonna do this? Minnesota started to come back, and at the end it was just like, man, I don't know. The Lions are gonna lion, and Jared Goff of all played hero ball. Great touchdown pass at the end. I mean, a perfectly thrown ball actually to little St. Brown, Amon-Ra St. Brown, who's the younger brother, of course, of Equanimeous St. Brown, Packers wide receiver. So gotta feel good for him at this point. I mean, that is such a snake bitten franchise. I know I've called him a poverty franchise at some point, and the way the Fords have run things, maybe they've deserved it, but I feel bad for those fans, man, because God, that franchise has been through the ringer. And, you know, 364 days since their last win, and they can't hold them down for a full year, apparently.
I love Dan Campbell, too. It's hard not to root for that guy. That guy just seems like a crazy person, and I kind of love it. He's just the ultimate football guy. And it feels way better to root for the Lions when it's them beating the Minnesota Vikings. Vikings are 0-2 since they played the Packers. They've lost Dalvin Cook and Adam Thielen. Cook might be out for the year, or at least close to it. And then Thielen has a high ankle sprain. It feels like the wheels are falling off a little bit ever since they won their Super Bowl, which is beating Green Bay.
You know, isn't that kind of how it always happens with them? You know, they get, such as being a Vikings fan too, I guess, you know, you get a little bit of hope and then bam, the football gods beat you down. But yeah, Dalvin Cook, I honest to God feel bad for him. What a fantastic talent, but he can't seem to stay healthy for a full year. And, you know, how much more abuse can his body take before, you know, you got to start looking at other options, potentially Minnesota, not to go too hot take on it, but man, But yeah, wheels are falling off it at the perfect time. Packers can now actually wrap up the division with a win on Sunday if Minnesota loses at home to Pittsburgh on Thursday, which is a very strong possibility. Pittsburgh is looking a little better. So,
yeah, not only are they looking better, but Minnesota is playing on a short week with all these injuries. So, and I think believe their left tackle Christian Darrisaw also likely not to play. So just a beat up team. You know, obviously with Dalvin Cook, that's just the nature of the position, right? Especially with how physically he plays. This is completely unrelated, but I don't know if you've watched any Georgia football. His little brother, it plays running back for them and looks exactly like him. It throws me off every time I watch him. He takes the helmet off. I'm like, did they just get Dalvin Cook on their team? That doesn't seem particularly fair.
No, isn't that kind of crazy though? I mean, it's, can you imagine if the Vikings got him? I mean, you could make the the joke of having too many cooks in the kitchen, but
Wow, that's a good one.
I'm sorry. I am so sorry. That's the possibility. All with the old and with the new. You know, you trade out one for another.
Well, I think that's enough Vikings and Lions talk. You know, as much as I would love to keep talking about the Lions getting their first win of the season, just a couple of news updates before we get into a quick look at the Bears. Actually, Chris, what do you want? You want good news first? You want bad news?
It's the bye week. The Packers won without playing. Let's start with the good. Keep that high going for a little bit.
Yeah, well, in today's press conference, Matt LaFleur did indicate that he's hopeful that David Bakhtiari, Za'Darius Smith, and Jaire Alexander will all practice this week. To go from, you know, none of them being there to them all potentially practicing, you're talking about like three potential all-pro players coming back in time for a stretch playoff run. Personally, not worried about them playing the next couple of weeks. As long as they can get, you know, two or three games in before the playoffs, that's where I'd like it. I'd like to see them practicing a little bit just to shake the rust off.
Yeah, especially for, you know, David Bakhtiari, who's been, I mean, he came back briefly and then he had that setback, but I mean, he's especially going to be a little rusty because he went down at the end of the almost a year ago with that ACL injury. So yeah, I would definitely like to see him practice a little more. Za'Darius Smith is probably, I think, has had the second longest layover. But I mean, yeah, what a great time to be getting them back because you get into the stretch run and it's probably going to be a dogfight for that number one seed. So you want to be full strength going into the playoffs. And after all the injury shenanigans this year, definitely arrows starting to point Green Bay's way. Knock on wood.
Yeah, it's time for some breaks to start coming their way as far as injury luck. I mean, just what a brutal season for injuries. A couple of weeks, I'll be playing another injury-riddled team in the Baltimore Ravens. It'll be quite interesting just to see how the two teams are trending. Bad news as far as, I guess, injury related ish. Jordan Love did test positive for COVID. So with Aaron Rodgers not practicing this week, that means it is Kurt Benkert season. Kurt Benkert off the practice squad will likely be taking the almost entirety of first team snaps, which just feels very weird to say. I'm still trying to wrap my head around it, but hey, it's Benkert season.
I mean, I'd be great benefit. I mean, Matt LaFleur did say he was hoping Aaron Rodgers could practice this week. Not sure what that means. I mean, maybe Benkert still is probably going to get at least, I would assume, half of the reps. But yeah, what great opportunity for him to learn. Jordan Love, however, can still play on Sunday. He just has to have two negative back-to-back tests. And then he can probably, the earliest he can return is Saturday because he is fully vaccinated and actually vaccinated, not immunized. So he, in theory, he's got probably a better chance of playing Saturday than Rodgers did.
Yeah. Well, the thing that stinks about this, like obviously excited for Benkert to get an opportunity to just, you know, get some reps, you know, he's never going to probably be a starting quarterback or get a lot of opportunities to play. Good opportunity for him. But on the opposite side, you know, this was the opportunity for Jordan Love to actually get, you know, some reps with the ones, you know, while they're sitting Rodgers in practice with his foot injury. That just stinks because I feel like this kid, it's his second season, he's just having a rough go of it as far as his development. It has been anything but linear. So time will tell how that impacts him, but you know, it's just, it kind of stinks not getting those practice reps when you can. I don't have any other injury news, Chris. Do we want to talk about the Bears game? Do we already assume what the result is? The Packers are 13-point favorites already.
I'm completely anticipating a beatdown, but I would not be doing my job as trying to appear unbiased if I didn't mention the Packers are 0-2 off the bye under Matt LaFleur. So I don't just want to think this is going to be some kind of a cakewalk. You know, the Bears are all but done for. They're going to do their best to play spoiler. They're obviously not playing their best football right now, but I wouldn't overlook them. But I'm fully expecting a beatdown, but I got to keep at least one eye open.
Two things here. You know, one, I think if the Vikings lose on Thursday Night Football, Packers are going to smell blood in the water. Chance to lock up the division this early before Christmas is absolutely wild. Just thinking about that still. And then, wow, what was my second point? Holy crap.
But Chris, yeah, while you get your thoughts together, I would agree with that. You know, if the Vikings lose, I think that's enough to keep the Packers eye on the ball, so to speak. I think that would probably be the best thing for them is like, hey, we can wrap up the North right away. Let's get this over with, and then we can focus on the number one seed. So I definitely think that would be the best thing for them.
Don't worry, I remembered. It was Matt Nagy. Number two was just Matt Nagy. The fact that he is still employed by the Chicago Bears gives me a lot of confidence. He's not playing on a short week or anything like that. He's got plenty of time to completely overthink everything, and it will be a mess. He'll probably overthink and start Andy Dalton, even if Fields is 100% healthy. One point I will say, this is the one thing I want to say that's not snarky about Matt Nagy. I do appreciate that he said on record on Monday that, you know, even we're not going to take absolutely any chances on Justin Fields' health. That is priority number one. And I think for a guy who is coaching for his job to, you know, essentially preserve the future franchise quarterback, even if he's not there, I respect that.
Well, I would agree. You can't risk Justin Fields. You know, you're getting to that time of the year now where if he suffers some kind of significant injury, it's going to carry over into next year. And maybe the McCaskies and Ryan Pace decide to ride with Nagy for another year. Crazy stuff happens.
I'm convinced there is absolutely no way. Everything I've heard, I listen to some Chicago podcasts because I'm from Chicago, and I just kind of like to listen to Bears fans kind of be delusional at times. That they're all convinced. Every single person in Chicago is convinced that Matt Nagy's gone at the end of the year. I've convinced myself. That being said, extend Matt Nagy. Matt Nagy through next 10 years. Let's go.
You know, they could use the whole, what Ryan Fields is young. Ryan Fields, Justin Fields is such a young quarterback that he needs consistency. You know, I couldn't even finish that thought. Burke, you ignorant slut.
you need to figure out the whys. You know, that's what Matt Nagy always says. And the whys are you just don't have a very good offense. They just have this weird situation. I don't know what they're going to do, but they need a smarter offensive mind with Fields. One of the things that drives me nuts is when he's out there, they don't utilize him on the move enough. And he's an extremely mobile quarterback, one of the most athletic quarterbacks you'll see in the league. Don't utilize that. It's going to be interesting to see who plays, though. We will see. If Fields is healthy, he'll be out there. If not, it's going to be Dalton. Either way, I feel pretty confident about a win and the fact that they're 13-point favorites. And it sounds like it's unlikely or it's up in the air that Allen Robinson, Khalil Mack, or Akeem Hicks will play. And those are like their three good players.
Yeah, I kept forgetting about that, too. So that kind of ruins everything.
Name anyone else that you would consider good besides those three and maybe Fields. And I would say Robert Quinn. Oh, David Montgomery. And I think that's the list.
Yeah. Montgomery was going to be my other option, but that's really all there is. The offensive line. I'm literally going through the position players and nope. Yikes. Cupboard's bare.
All right. Well, I think we both feel pretty confident in a win. We'll see what happens any given Sunday, you know, but nothing would be better than clinching the NFC North in front of a national audience in primetime. So that being said, let's go ahead and move into our little bye week topic, breaking down the top 10 highlights of the season. You know, just moments from the season that we've really appreciated. Wanted to take a look at. Chris, you want to start us off with number 10?
Yeah, number 10, we have Jair Alexander going across the field for an interception against San Francisco. You want to talk about tracking a ball perfect. That was kind of the thing with Jair we've always talked about is, you know, he's got to get the interceptions. Boy, he got himself one there.
if I recall, it was like a cover three concept, and he wasn't supposed to track that ball, but he saw, you know, his receiver or his zone kind of like run in, and he just saw, oh, Garoppolo's throwing this deep. I'm just going to sprint back there. Goes, I think it was like 30, 40 yards, something on the ball, tracks it all the way, breaks it up on Kittle, gets the pick. I wrote it down just because makes me miss Jaire Alexander, man. The secondary is playing out of their minds without him, but can you just imagine what it's going to be like when he's back?
Well, I mean, what do you do? I mean, do they have so many dime options? You know, I don't want to say dime could be base. Obviously, that probably isn't sound football, but
no, don't say that. That's Mike Pettine football right there.
Yeah, that was not serious. Before anybody likes the comments on fire, that was a joke. But they're going to have a lot of options there. You know that Joe Barry can get really clever with, you know, disguising coverages, right? You know, he can mix and match guys in and out. Obviously, you're not going to keep Alexander off the field, but boy, they've got depth there all of a sudden now, and that could really allow some mad science to emerge on the defensive playbook to end out the year.
I'm hoping to see some of Jaire in the slot, assuming he's fully healthy. I just love the way he helps in run coverage or on swing passes, things like that. Likes getting his nose dirty. You know, Rasul doesn't have the athleticism for slot, but he does some of that as well on the outside. You're right. It's weird. It's weird thing about the defense having depth across the board. Just been a very fun season in that regard. Off to number nine, we have Rashawn Gary against the Pittsburgh Steelers. One of my favorites, probably my favorite sack of his of the year. He's had a lot of really technically impressive, you know, he's had some different pass rush moves, things like that. This one against Big Ben, he literally tackled Ben Roethlisberger through an offensive tackle. You didn't need technique there. That's just like the perfect relative athletic score coming into play where you just body an offensive tackle.
I mean, you're going through, so you've got a linebacker. We all know how good Rashawn Gary is as an athlete, but you're going through an offensive tackle to get to Ben Roethlisberger. Ben might be old and he might be falling apart, but he's still a big dude.
Yeah.
And he, it just, the sheer power of that, that was a Bane move right there by Rashawn Gary.
Thank goodness that elbow injury ended up not being too serious. I mean, when that happened in Seattle and I was thinking about missing him for, you know, potentially the year. That was not a fun thought.
No, I mean, all of a sudden he's become such a key cog for the defense, right? With a pass rush. I mean, you miss Za'Darius Smith, but Rashawn Gary has, I think we can officially call it a breakout year. Would you say that's a fair
description? Oh, 1,000,000%. You know, if you're looking at the box score, it's like, I think 6.5 sacks, it is a career high for him. We're looking at pressures, and just when you just watch him, he's a completely different player. He's always been athletic, but to see him actually make pass rush moves, set guys up, get them off balance, it's just awesome to see, man.
Yeah, he just has to keep contained at some point, but that, you know, that's neither here nor there.
Don't say that on Twitter, he'll block you. I definitely don't know that from firsthand experience. Anyway,
since this is only an audio podcast, we don't take video. That too was a joke.
That made me a little sad. I love Rashawn Gary too, but you know, what happens happens. I'll still root for him regardless. Chris, what do we got for number eight?
Coming up at number eight, another defensive play, Devondre Campbell forcing a fumble at the goal line versus the Washington football team. Great. Devondre Campbell, I don't think needs any further introduction to Packer fans. Has shown all year what a legitimate inside linebacker can do. Green Bay was, you know, struggling at that point a little bit with Washington, but that play really kind of turned the game around.
If you remember, you know, this was immediately after Taylor Heinicke gave himself up, thought he scored a touchdown and did a Lambeau leap. I believe this was the very next
That's
play.
That's right. Yep.
He, you know, Campbell leaps up, punches it out. Heinicke recovers, but is not able to get, you know, forward progress into the end zone. So just amazing play. This felt like the real turning point when all of our Pro Bowl vote Devondre Campbell propaganda really started, like, you know, picking up some steam. He had a few plays that stretch with that. And then the interception in overtime against the Bengals where, you know, what blows me away. I don't believe he's in the top voting for Pro Bowl votes for linebackers right now. We absolutely need to change that. If you're listening, tweet it right now. You know, Devondre Campbell, # Pro Bowl vote. Packers fans, we got to do a better job of this, man. He's got to get in. We got to let him get into the Pro Bowl.
Absolutely. And you know that we showed, you know, we've talked all year about mocking the belt. Look what happened after you mocked the Lambeau Leap. Just don't make fun of any Packers celebrations and you'll be fine.
Going in at number seven, this will be the only player, I believe, looking through here, that is a two-timer on the list. So congratulations to former practice squad member Rasul Douglas for his pick six against the Los Angeles Rams. In a game that was just utterly dominant against, you know, the theoretical Super Bowl favorites, to see Rasul Douglas break downhill on a pass, I believe it was intended to Cooper Kupp, and then just take it all the way for a score. Man, that felt good.
I mean, what a brilliant track by Douglas on that, right? I mean, Cooper Kupp has had a phenomenal year for Matthew Stafford. He's become Davante Adams or Jordy Nelson, you know, to Aaron Rodgers is what Kupp's become to Matthew Stafford. But he broke on that play perfectly. And you just saw that, you know, we don't really talk about with him, but his closing speed has just been phenomenal. He broke it perfectly and then, you know, was able to make a relatively easy trot into the end zone. And Joe Barry's defense getting on the scoreboard. So, hey, that game, in theory, that really put the game away. LA kind of made it interesting later, but I don't know what it is with him and exclamation points, but I hope he keeps doing it all year.
What was the quote? It was Joe Barry called out Rasul. He's like, I don't think that guy has a girlfriend or a wife because he stays really late for practices watching film. And I was like, geez, dude, just calling the guy out like that.
Well, you appreciate the dedication, right?
100%. He's having a great year. Chris, what we got for number six? Actually, feels fitting that you're doing number six.
Number six. I've made a joke on Twitter throughout the year that if Chris Barnes ever scores a touchdown, I'm changing the spelling of my name. It's already with a K, but I want to change it to a Y. But that game, you know, that obviously was a fairly ugly game against Kansas City. But Chris Barnes, like, you know, Darrell Williams at the goal line, just that I felt that one all the way over here in Wisconsin.
That man has had, you know, a really nice second season in the league. It's been awesome to see. He's not always great, but he has those flashes. This game against Kansas City on tape, he made plays play after play. It was awesome to see. I think having a mentor like Devondre Campbell helping him out too has been great. But yeah, man, that was probably the most vicious hit a Packers player has had in some time.
You know, it's kind of what we've been talking about too, with the defense kind of missing that nastiness, right? That was a very nasty but clean hit. The thing about Chris Barnes is he's such a fundamentally sound tackler, which in recent history, you can't really say that about a lot of members of the Packers defense. But clean hit, solid hit,
violent.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I think I tweeted that it registered on the Richter scale on that hit. But yeah, that was they didn't come away with the win in that game. But boy, that was a highlight play for a defense that actually had a highlight day despite getting the loss.
Yeah, that's what stinks about that game, because it came away with a loss. People are going to forget that it was a textbook performance of, hey, this defense is actually good. Look what they're doing to Patrick Mahomes with Tyreek Hill. Pretty sure he had his entire offense out there. You know, this defense is for real, man. You know, if you're just looking at all the plays we've talked about so far, every single one has been a defensive play. That is kind of wild to think about. But moving on to number five, it is our first offensive play on the list. A.J. Dillon's rumbling, stumbling, bumbling reception against the Seattle Seahawks. Just making guys miss, keeping his feet in, staying in bounds, finishing it with, what was that, like a 50-yard gain? Davante Adams at the end gassing him up. It's been a truly breakout year for the second-year running back.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the one thing that I think anybody that had doubts about Dillon going into the season, it was still, you know, how is he going to function as a receiver? You know, in LaFleur's offense, he got to function as a receiver. Answered the question very well. He's played well in screen, you know, out of the screen. He's been able to make guys miss, been able to use that power to get down the field. And for a big guy like that, he's surprisingly shifty. Those quads are very agile. So that was a phenomenal play, though. that's immediate. You know, it's funny how you presented that, because I kept thinking of Chris Berman, rumbling, bumbling, stumbling. Thank God he didn't fumble. But yeah, that was just a phenomenal play by him. And look forward to seeing more.
You think about how important that impact is. You've probably heard a lot of analysts talking about how, you know, teams are trying to stop quarterbacks by playing too high, right? you know, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, all these guys that can bomb it deep. The way to beat too high is run the damn ball and then, you know, be comfortable with your checkdowns and, you know, taking the short, what they give you. So that's something they've been doing with AJ Dillon, and you're starting to see a lot of success with it. He's making a lot of catches outside of his frame as well, which is incredibly impressive. He's, you know, even though they're not highlight plays, he's doing what it takes to get north, south, get a first down. That's been a huge part of his game. And it's kind of great having not one, but two running backs that are, you know, dual threats at this point.
And that's really kind of what you have to, what you have to have now. Right. And you saw San Francisco darn near win a Super Bowl that way. And I'm glad Matt LaFleur has kept that as part of his offense. I mean, that is a big staple of the Shanahan offense anyway, but yeah, you gotta have two. And man, AJ Dillon's fun to watch with it getting very cold here. Something to watch. You know, they got that. You want to pound that bowling ball in the winter months at Lambeau. Perfect Packer football player.
Is it supposed to be cold like it is right now on Sunday?
Hang on here. I'm pulling that up right now. Very early forecast right now for Sunday. Actually, almost balmy. High of 38, low of 27. Snow showers the day before, but yeah, it's, as we all know in Wisconsin, if you just don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes. So, I mean, that very well could change, but I'd probably put it right around 35 for the game if I were to guess.
I'm anxiously awaiting an AJ Dillon snow game again. Maybe we'll get in the playoffs. It'd be great, but you know, fingers crossed. How about number four, Chris?
Number four. Again, too bad this came in a loss, but MVS deep shot versus Minnesota. The Packers have been trying so hard all year to connect on the deep ball. It finally happened. And this is where you can really, I'm so glad to see MVS was the one that got that, because you can see the value he has to that offense. He's been dogged, you know, by the debate over his hands, but wow, that was a phenomenal play. And the guy can, spoiler alert, the guy can move.
I love listening to Aaron Rodgers break this down on the Pat McAfee show. Schematically, I like that they had Devontae run a deep in. Harrison Smith bites on that, so there's, you know, open space over the top. But also, Aaron Rodgers had to get that ball out quick because the Vikings ran a creative little stunt, gave, surprise, the interior of the offensive line some trouble. So he had to get that out quick. Just a beautifully executed play all around and a good play call right before the two-minute warning. The problem was, it's the problem that opposing teams always have with the Packers. You know, you left too much damn time on the clock. And, you know, if Darnell Savage gets that interception, the next play from scrimmage, we're talking about it differently, unfortunately. But, man, what a play. It was awesome. Let's go ahead and move on to – oh, sorry. You got anything else for that?
Just I hope they continue to go. You know, they don't want to get too far away, but I would like – you know, obviously with MVS now healthy again, really would like to see them stretch the field a little bit more. I think that's the one element of the offense that's been missing. So hopefully that was a harbinger of things to come.
Yeah, like we've said, I think we said last week, maybe the week before, just talking about the deep ball. There's been some debate. I really respect Paul for, you know, bringing up the debate. You know, is Aaron Rodgers' deep ball really back? So we'll have to see if that continues, if it's sustainable. I'm looking forward to it regardless. Number three, this might be my favorite. Was just giving Aaron Rodgers, quote unquote, too much time against the San Francisco 49ers. How many seconds did they have on the clock without any timeouts? Was it like 30? I can't even remember at this point.
I want to say it was 32 is what I want to say it was. It was right around the 30-second mark, but you're not far off.
I'm looking it up. I'm very curious.
I want to say it was 32 seconds, but yeah, again, way too much time on the clock. I mean, do people not learn? You got to leave Aaron Rodgers 10 seconds or less. You leave him 20, 15, maybe even 15. He's going to find a way to hurt you. And that one chunk play to Devontae that set all that up. People, what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and, you know, expecting different results. You know, are people ever going to learn? I mean, Aaron Rodgers just turned 38 and people apparently still haven't picked that up.
No one runs a desperation 2-minute drill quite like Aaron Rodgers. It's a sight to behold. I always enjoy seeing it. Number two, we got the repeat, Chris.
Yeah, Rasul Douglas, game-sealing interception against Arizona. From a personal standpoint, I remember just as Arizona was going down the field, and I'm already like, God, they had this game, and they're going to blow it. sucks it's got to end this way. What is it about this stadium that results in heartbreak? And then Rasul Douglas stole AJ Green and Kyler Murray's souls. Not sure still to this day what AJ Green was thinking on that when he turned his head the wrong direction. I don't know if he was trying to block or what, but that actually wasn't an easy catch for Douglas either. So just a phenomenal catch that gave the Packers the tiebreaker win over the Cardinals and really showed that Green Bay is a team to contend with in the NFC.
I just remember texting my little brother just the entire drive. Like, this is so painful, so much pain, pain. Well, they're going to lose. That stinks. Only to see, you know, AJ Green mess up. Bruce will get the interception. And then just, oh, the chef's kiss was the surrender Cobra Cardinals fan in the crowd as Russell waved bye-bye. Just completely distraught in the front row. Just perfect.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised it didn't become more of a meme, you know, really than anything. But, I mean, the Packers have had their hearts stolen multiple times in that stadium, so it was only fair that they got one back.
Last but not least, my man, I don't even know how to describe this. It feels fitting that we're talking about it to end the show, considering it is Bears week. But number one, I've owned you my entire bleeping life. I own you. I still own you. I still own you. Aaron Rodgers against the Chicago Bears, rushing touchdown. I've watched that clip so many times at this point. We sold shirts about it. I mean, how can you not be romantic about football, Chris?
How can you not be fired up about that? You know, it shows you how much Aaron Rodgers still feels fired up about that rivalry with the Bears. You know, even after everything in the spring and summer, it shows you how much Aaron Rodgers still loves that. And, you know, that somebody had the gall to talk trash to him, like he said on McAfee, you know, that he just kind of blacked out at that point and just started shouting, you know, at that fan. But I mean, find the lie. He does still own them. He has owned them. He will always own them. Aaron Rodgers has probably got a majority share in the Chicago Bears, even more than McCaskey's at this point. But what I love most about this play, though, was just the swag factor of it. You know, just Aaron Rodgers is not a huge trash talker, so to speak, but just for him to openly embrace that rivalry kind of made me like, okay, you know, he's really in on this. So. You know, it was an Aaron Rodgers touchdown run. You know, we've seen plenty of those. I don't want to say there's anything, if I recall, schematically unique about that play, but just his reaction to that just galvanized Packers fans.
He's had some memorable rushing touchdowns this year. You know, obviously this one, and then the one just last for, I guess, 2 weeks ago against the Rams. I think if you've seen that photo, look it up. Of Aaron Rodgers just kind of standing in the end zone, and in the background is Jalen Ramsey on the ground, just staring at him. It's too perfect. The fact that he shook Jalen Ramsey into the end zone is just incredible. Man, wow.
Yeah, the pump fake to the end of the abyss faked out Jalen Ramsey. So he's still got it.
We did it, Chris. We got through all 10. Fortunately, there are a bunch more games left to be played, so we actually might have, you know, plenty of more moments to talk about by the end of the year. I don't want it to be over yet. It's kind of sad that, you know, there's only a handful of games left. But, you know, what are you thinking? What are you thinking for the rest of the year, Chris? You thinking Soupy? You thinking Super Bowl?
How can you not think Super Bowl at this point? I mean, I'm prepared to be hurt again. Because, you know, with all the uncertainty going into the offseason, we don't know if the Packers are going to get close again for a while. Hope so. Hopefully this isn't the end. But I just want to enjoy every minute of it because you don't know what's on the horizon. So that's the biggest thing is however the season ends, if it doesn't end in a Super Bowl, I would really encourage, you know, fans, don't beat yourself up on it. Enjoy the ride because someday you might wish you were this close to a Super Bowl again. And I say that as somebody who grew up pretty far, you know, and saw the Packers being god awful, you know, like Detroit Lions awful. Okay. The Packers went 4-12 in 91. That's the first season I really watched football, and Detroit came within a game of the Super Bowl with Barry Sanders. So a lot can change. So just appreciate every moment of it, but God, I would love to see the season end in a Super Bowl. And now that the defense is an asset, not a liability, I see no reason why not.
2019, Matt LaFleur's first year. I was like, this is a fun team. I can't believe they're playing as well as they have. hit the playoffs. And I'm just like, you know, if they play San Francisco, they're totally screwed. And that happened. 2020, I was like, man, this offense is clicking, firing on all cylinders. That defense is a little iffy. You know, I hope we don't play Tampa. You know, Tampa happens. This year, bring it on. You know, I don't want to tempt fate. Tom Brady still scares me a little bit. I'm not going to lie. But, you know, looking on paper at any other team they can face in the NFC, it's the first time in the LaFleur era where I'm like, bring it. This team can compete.
Yeah, it's kind of, we've kind of seen it build a little bit. And I would, this would, nothing would be more satisfying from the drama of the offseason to have it end with a Lombardi. I think it would just be utterly perfect. But, you know, you remember history. You know, the history sticks in the back of your mind. Like, I am prepared to be hurt again. And you know what? That's okay. It's part of the deal.
A lot of ball games left, as one of our friends would say. We'll leave you with that, guys. Soupy season is underway. Let's go. Thanks for listening. And from Chris and myself, I love gold. Thanks, guys.